You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window, someone shouting through the war, and I'd like to get the information, asking for the blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, everybody. This is Dave Hodges. I am the host of the Common Sense Show, and we are really pleased to be with you on this Super Bowl Sunday, but we're talking about our toilet bowl world and all its problems. But before we go there, a couple of community service announcements here. First of all, our website, thecommonsenseshow.com, I'm hopeful it'll be changed to its new site, same URL by the end of the week. That is my goal, if not certainly the week after. I know some of you have experienced problems with the Listen Live feature. So in every broadcast I post on game day, I post how to listen to the show, and I will continue to do so once the new site is up. Smooth sailing, but also we always publish our archives in story form, and you know, we make it a story. So I'd encourage you to visit thecommonsenseshow.com, and our good partners around the internet pick up our stories frequently. I think last count we're on about 1,400 websites, and that includes the rebroadcast of this show. Although I do want to remind people, when you take this show and use it for your own profit, there's that little thing called intellectual property theft, and here in Arizona, it's $10,000 per occurrence. So you might want to be careful about that. Whoever knows if I'm going to wake up in a bad mood. I do want the word to get out, but I don't want people to make money off my endeavors, okay? So if you're passing it along for education purposes, God bless you for doing so. Thank you for being our partner in fighting for freedom. If you're a thief, someday you may get your comeuppance, and that's all I'm going to say about that. And I know a lot of us who have radio shows have run into this problem, particularly with the slimier side of the YouTube crowd. Also, our newsletter is fully functioning. We have now over 29,000 subscribers, and we're adding somewhere between 30 to 100 each day. And I would encourage you, if you're not yet a member of our newsletter group, where you'll have our stories delivered to your email box each and every morning at 7 a.m. Eastern, I would encourage you to sign up for it as soon as possible. Now, that is the community service side of what I wanted to get out there tonight. But one more thing. We are not doing our weekday show any longer. It was not economically feasible. It was nice being on all these terrestrial stations, but when they're charging you 5 and 6 to 10 times more than what we pay to be on satellite and go digital, and we have a bigger listening audience than these radio stations, that just doesn't make any economic sense. And since I've announced our shift to focus mostly on our Sunday night, but we're going to be going to podcasts as well, we are attracting new investors, new advertisers. So that's the direction we're going to take the show. Thanks so much for all of you who've written in to us saying, Dave, we miss you on the weekday. Hey, be patient, because we're gearing up to have podcast release in their place. And thank you so much for following us here on the Common Sense Show. Well, our guest for the first hour and continuing to the second hour is one of my all-time favorite personalities. You may have first heard John on a large scale on Coast to Coast when he was, in my humble opinion, the best talk show host that they have ever had there. And that's saying a lot, because I was an Art Bell fan. I thought Art Bell did a lot to bring truth to the airwaves. But John moved on to other things, Caravan to Midnight. That's equally as good. And, John, I don't want to wait any longer to pump the show, because this needs pumping. The work you're doing, the guests you're having on are second to none on the net and across the digital media. So let's take a second here and talk about how people can follow your great work on Caravan to Midnight and how they can become a subscriber.
Well, I appreciate that very much, David. Look, we have 466 shows in archive right now. by this time next week, there will be 471. And this may sound a little on the smart-alecky side, and I don't mean it to, but the thing is that we don't have sponsors. We don't even like to refer to the people who join the caravan as subscribers. We call them members. And I'll tell you why. Because it really is, it's a big global family. You know, when I was on Coast to Coast, I used to say, welcome to the global living room and stuff like that. Well, it is kind of a global living room. And we do read their emails, and we do respond to them. And, you know, we work with people that, I mean, for example, this lovely woman named Brendy Richards. She came on our program a couple of times to discuss the situation in South Africa, which is unbelievable. I went to South Africa on a cigarette contract for Lexington Cigarettes every year for 16 years, from 1984 until 1999, when the government, that was the last year you could run cigarette ads on radio. And Johannesburg was a beautiful city. Now it looks like Detroit on Halloween night every day. Well, a lot of people that were employed, because they're the wrong color, they're now sitting in squatter camps. This is just the way it is. You know, they're dealing with a mentality that there are 26 or 27 million unemployed black people. There are 4 million employed white people. They want the white people to go away because they can't do the math, apparently. And what they don't realize is if they do make the 4 million employed white people go away, their unemployment rate among black people will go up to about 50 million, because the white ones are the ones that are still producing things that constitute an economy. Well, we learned that a man needed a wheelchair real bad. Well, guess what? The caravanners got together and they made that happen. And that's what, these are not just listeners. They're activists. They do stuff. They do research. They check our work and they go and do their own research, and then they reach out to other people and they do it. So, you know, when they let me go at Coast to Coast, I understood why. They had sponsors that didn't like what I would say sometimes. And it's not necessarily what I would say. It's that I didn't stop people from saying what they wanted to say. I was ordered several times. Ordered. I never was one for taking orders. It just didn't really work for me. But, you know, I tried, but it didn't work very well. Don't say Obama. Just don't say his name. Don't say the New World Order. Don't say the Illuminati. You can call them the globalists. That's it. It's like, I'm going to call them by their names if I get a hold of any of them. So that's what we do at Caravan to Midnight. It's $60 for a year. And I'm just asking you, folks.
Price.
With 466 programs in archive right now, do the math. $60 over the course of a year. How much is that per show? Answer, not enough to buy any peanuts. So, and you can get in for $15. $15 for a quarter, $30 for a half a year, and $60 for a whole year. But I would strongly suggest that if you can spring it, go for the year, and then you're done. Because we don't know what this year holds in store for us. It may not be possible to get hold of $15 at some point. We don't know. Catastrophic things have happened to civilizations before.
That's true.
We are trying to raise awareness so that maybe we could hold that off just by the fact that so many people know what's going on, and they pick up their phones and they call their elected officials, starting with the locals up through the sheriff's department. We have people that remind the sheriff's department, you have constitutional authority. Did you know that? You can stop these things that the federal government is trying to do. And we have a lot of sheriffs, a lot of police, a lot of military. We're in 144 countries, and we are having an effect just by bringing people who know what they're talking about on. Every once in a while, we'll throw in some woo-woo just for fun. But we're not trying to parallel what Coast to Coast was doing. We're not trying to follow or duplicate or imitate anybody. This is the long conversation, and people get to say what they want. And I don't stop them. I don't challenge them and argue them. Now, if I hear something that seems like it's disingenuous or just plain old BS, then it's like I'll sing out about it. But, I mean, I don't restrict them in what they can say, because there's nobody to tell us not to except the target of our discussion. And if they object, then that means that we're doing the right thing. So check it out. It's caravantomidnight.com. You scroll down the page. There's a YouTube channel link there. You can see some stuff for free, and you can, you know, take the program's temperature. If it looks normal, you know, normal enough to where you won't, you know, get sick if you come in contact with it. And we'd love to have you as a member. I'm pretty sure you're going to be delighted that you did. A lot of people say it's the best money ever spent. So thanks.
I've been fortunate enough, John, to be on your show more than once. It's a first-class operation. It's certainly one of the hallmark shows in what I like to call the independent media. So I really appreciate the great work that you do, you and your staff, Diane, Ken, you know, the whole group over there. You guys just do a great job. I want to shift gears. We went into the top of the hour kind of touching on the edge of the upper regions of satellites and beyond, as you said. And I just want to start off with just a real brief description of something. It was a movie I saw back in the late 1990s called The Arrival with Charlie Sheen. And in the movie, this scientist, played by Charlie Sheen, discovered that ETs had come here. They were morphing their appearance to be human-like and were infiltrating some of the top positions within our government, such as the head of NASA. Their plan was to treat humanity like the frog in the boiling pot, slowly turn up the temperature until we would become extinct and the temperature would be natural for their life form and they could bring the masses here from their dying planet. Jim Mars once told me when he was on this show, he said, "You really can't understand the issues unless you factor in the ET equation." Do you agree with Jim on that?
Yeah, actually I do, because it is well known now. I mean, really, people from outer space, it's a foregone conclusion. Now, there have been too many cultures, even the rudest cultures that ever walked around on this planet, they knew about them. They were drawing them on the sides of on the inside of their caves, on the walls, and everything else. It's stuff is written in the Bible about it, in many, many scriptures that are considered to be sacred in various religions around the world. Everybody knows about it. Yeah, I think that's a distinct possibility. And there are many reports of human-looking aliens. So, absolutely. I mean, look how Harry Truman just sat there as sober as a judge saying, "Oh, well, there's always flying saucers and one thing or another like that, but the highest levels of our military are investigating, so I've been told," and he just let it go, you know?
Well, it's not like he or Eisenhower had much of a choice. This is something that I really haven't broached a whole lot on this show. I know Katie is probably sitting in the background. I was grinning from ear to ear. Annie DeRiso, my retired news director, is probably grinning from ear to ear. But the evidence has really become quite overwhelming. And, you know, just I'll set the stage for where I want to go with this. But my father worked with captured Nazi scientists in the late 1950s and on into the very early 1960s. And they didn't call it Operation Paperclip, although that's the historical name. And I asked him, I said, "Well, what do you think, Dad, about the ET issue? Do you think it's true?" He said, "I have no opinion on that because I have to see it to believe it." But his opinion was that the Nazis that he worked with universally believed it was true. And to a person, when he asked him about vertical liftoff technology, anti-gravitics, he said, "Where did you get this?" They said, "The aliens." Pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I mean, Hans Kammler and all those guys back in those days, they were totally on top of this. And isn't it interesting? You mentioned watching Unsealed Alien Files. I've got 4 seasons with them. I don't know if we're going to get a 5th one. And I don't know if I'll be part of that program if they do get a 5th one. But we've got 4 out there. And, you know, it's very interesting that that Nazi bell, there were all sorts of drawings about it, the one they called Die Glocke, it's like a Glock with an E on the end. This thing looks a whole lot like the very one that crashed in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, many years after World War II had ended, and the Army showed up and took it away, and that was that. But what everybody said, when in fact, in Stephenville, they saw one of those devices, and it looked like a bell. I mean, it looked just like a bell. It's what this old Texas guy said, you know, with his old accent going and everything. It looked just like a bell. So the rumor is that something really bad happened, and they actually managed to rip a hole in the fabric of time. Let me run this past you. This may be sort of like, oh, man, is he smoking something weird or what? But think about this, folks. When you look at a tire on a car, there's the tire situated on its wheel. and there are the lug nuts, and there's a little hub in the middle. That thing is going down the road, and that unit, hub, wheel, and tire, all together, they're all going to the same place. They will arrive at the same time. And yet, the tire is making far fewer revolutions than the hub is, because the hub is smaller and it's in the middle. If you extrapolate this out, you can see how time and therefore space can be manipulated by the same principle that allows that entire unit of a tire and a wheel and a hub to arrive at the same place at the same time by rolling over the road, and yet the hub has spun many more times than the wheel. How is such a thing even possible? But it is possible, because that's what happens. Just like when you go into a curve, if you're making a curve to the left, well, the reason that you spin out is because the tires on the right side of the car have farther to go. That's why you lose your, that's why with a Positrac, you know, where both your rear wheels are locked, that's why you always slide out. That's why they went to limited slip, because like this ain't working, because the inside wheel is turning fewer revolutions than the outside wheel, even though they are locked together. And this is exactly what these guys did. Once they figured out that power is possible with a simple electromagnetic wave, and that these waves could be generated by putting together a somewhat simple apparatus, all bets were off. But when you start playing with stuff like that, you're going to have some accidents, and they did. Most of the stuff that we're flying now, I'll give you an example. This is okay to talk about because it's somebody spilled the beans a couple of years ago, and so it's out of the bag. But you know the B-2 bomber, that big scary looking thing. That's almost the spitting image of the Horton brothers. I think it must be the HO-10 flying wing. They were obsessed with this flying wing. Well, get this: how does it fly from Kansas to the Middle East and drop a bunch of stuff on people and fly back without refueling? The answer is, doesn't use its engines. Once it gets going, it's an electric wave that is developed over the wing. That's your positive charge. Your exhaust is the negative charge, and that is your propulsion unit. You should have made it down to the if there's another secret space program conference, even if you're not scientifically minded, you should go down to listen to these speakers. They're genius. I mean, Joseph Farrell was there, and Catherine Austin Fitz was there, and Linda Moulton Howe was there, and a bunch of people were there. And you just walk out of there almost in a trance, because everything that we think of as being current technology is like Stone Age compared to what these guys are using now. It's amazing. So, yeah, back to the ET connection, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's spoken of in the Bible. There are a lot of worlds out there. Look, commandment number one, don't have any other gods before me. He didn't say there weren't any. He said you won't have any others before me. This is my turf. This is my planet. This is my universe right here. You're not going to have any other gods before me. I repeat, he didn't say there weren't any other ones. He said, this realm is mine.
Yeah, we got one of them now on Fox News Network following the, shall we say, remake of The X-Files, and they're calling the show Lucifer. I never thought I'd live to see the day where a network had the intestinal fortitude to roll out a show called Lucifer, John. I never thought I'd see it.
CIA is all over Hollywood, always has been. You know, I'm going to go back to Adolf Hitler for a minute. Adolf Hitler said something to this effect. I'm paraphrasing pretty heavily, but the meaning is there. He said, if I talk to just a man, just a single person, he may not go for what I'm saying. He may not believe it. He may not even listen to much of it. But if I get a bunch of people together and I talk to them, they kind of become one. And I can speak directly to that heart, that mass heart. And during his speeches, I mean, there were grown men standing there crying, going, oh my God, he really knows how I feel. He really does. He gets me. I mean, there was a personal, it wasn't a mind connection, it was a heart connection. So it's been known for a long time, but particularly visually. Radio's great, but see, when people listen to radio, they can do other things. You know, they can do whatever. They can do whatever they want. But if you can get them in front of a screen, all they can do is watch. And that's why the intelligence services, I mean, I haven't had the head of the CIA tell me, oh, yeah, Wells, this is absolutely true. But I've heard enough people tell me that, that everything, every major motion picture, every music star that has the ability to influence vast numbers of people, they're all checked out by the security services. Look what Ben, let me take another direction just for a second. Look what Ben Carson said. It just went bleh, just fell out of his mouth. I'm not sure very many people heard this. But you remember when he said that he'd visited George W. Bush several times at the White House?
I remember that.
And I'm going, now, what in the hell were you doing up there? If you're just the head of children's neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins University, what exactly were you doing visiting George W. Bush at the White House more than once? Fleetwood Mac's been up there once, you know, to play when Bill Clinton got in, remember that? But why would Ben Carson be up there? The answer is, and it was revealed later, I can't remember who it was. It was John Whitehead or one of them, you know, one of the top dogs out there. It's because CIA and FBI and everybody else vets these guys and checks them out thoroughly before their political careers even begin. Look, you're dealing with some really, really smart people up there. And no one should ever get the idea that the people in the security services are stupid people. Only very stupid people think that the security services are stupid. They're not. These are genius-level people. And they are able to, with a very high degree of accuracy, extrapolate how people will think, what they will react to, how many of them will react to it, what percentage of the ones who react to it will take action, and how many will not. They know that entertainment is not amusement. Entertainment means to hold within. Anything that holds mass audiences within goes right back to Operation Paperclip. Let's bring all the Nazis over here we can, because those guys have got it going on. From rocketry to mind control to propaganda to gun control to advanced weaponry to aircraft to flying saucers, these dudes have it going on. Hell, I'm not so sure they aren't the master race. They've done everything seriously high significance as far as technical development is concerned. It ain't some dude out in East Texas somewhere doing it, I'll tell you that. And they had the power of the state, they had the money of the state behind them, and they were convinced that they were saving the white race. And don't make any mistake about it, that's what this was about, because they were wise to that plan that was put in place in 1922. So they were motivated to do it. We're going to save our nation, and we're going to rise to the top like the cream rises to the top. That's what we need to do. Right or wrong, that's what they did. And we're still operating off of technology that they developed in the 30s, and even in some cases in the 20s. So that's just how it is. The UFO thing, the alien thing, open and shut case. They totally exist. I am shocked that X-Files would even put out what they did in the first episode, except for one thing. This is their way of leaking out the possibility that what they're saying is real, because it is real. It's acclimating people to the idea that these advanced technologies exist, that zero-point energy exists, and that all of these marvelous things that can carry you beyond the ability for time to affect it. These things do exist. Look, there was just recently an article that came out. Atoms stop their motion when they are observed by a human being. So Schrodinger was correct. An experiment's outcome can be affected by a human being simply observing the experiment in progress. Not manipulating anything, not changing anything, just observing it. What does this tell you? Obi-Wan Kenobi was correct. He's talking about the Force that penetrates us and surrounds us and binds the universe together. Yeah, we call it electromagnetism. Everything from what holds matter together, oh, look, a bookshelf over there, to the ability to see, to the laser, to the radio, it's all electromagnetism. electromagnetism. Everything runs on it. Without it, there is no universe. Question is, if there is no universe, what is there in its place? What is nothing? Well, some people have cracked that code. Some people know that nothing is, in fact, something. When they figure out where nothing, which is actually something, is located, that'll be the next quantum leap.
It's very interesting. And in fact, when you were talking your way through these electrogravitic, electromagnetic technologies, one of the things that came to my mind was teleportation. And, you know, John, you don't see this in the media anymore, but do you remember in Leipzig, Germany? Oh, I think it was in the last decade sometime, that researchers there transported across the laboratory inanimate objects. And in the description that I read, it said the objects arrived at the other side of the laboratory before they even left.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Well, if you don't mind, do you remember when Jesus appeared at several places at the same time and was witnessed doing this after his resurrection? Well, you know, recently they discovered these, within the last year and a half, they released information that they've discovered particles that can exist in different locations at the same time. All of the clues are there. It just goes back to what I think it was old Solomon said, with much knowledge, there is much pain. Because the more you know, the more you realize that there is so much, ever so much more to know. If you decide to open that door, you're gonna experience some real pain. You will question everything. You will question your existence. You will question things to an extent that you'll drive yourself nuts if you can't handle it. Some people really can't handle the truth, and they need to go with just the one truth, which is that you are a servant of your creator. You are not put here to freelance and do whatever you want. There will be more. But if you screw this up, oh, pobrecito, oh, you know, you gotta walk that line. You have to have that discipline or you won't get to what is going to be available to you in the next realm. You don't know where you were before you were born, but we've had a glimpse at what happens when people pass out of this physical life and go on to the next life. I mean, there have been too many apparitions seen, there have been too many anomalies that have occurred, stuff moved around, people appearing, you know, they keep appearing and keep appearing here and there, and these are people who get stuck. They just get stuck. And as silly as this sounds, Tom Waits wrote a very interesting song, I've referenced it many times, and at first you listen to the song and you go, that's the goofiest song I ever heard, but the title is what really does it for me, and it is, Everything You Can Think Of Is True. The rest of it is, on some level, to some degree, either a high degree or a low degree, everything that a human being can think of is true in some way. See what I mean? I'm already starting to drive members of your audience nuts with this. So.
But this is where, shall we say, spirituality meets physics, and people think those two things conflict. I don't agree, because who created the physics? John, we got to step aside for a break. We come back, we'll pick it up right where we left off. Don't touch that dial, that computer, or your phone. We'll see you on the other side.
All right, for this week's Ranger Gear Review, did you know that hackers and government agencies can scan your RFID personal identity details through the air invisibly using an RFID scanner that reads the chips that are increasingly on driver's licenses, passports, and credit cards? Merely by walking near an RFID scanner, which may be hidden, by the way, you can have your personal identity details stolen without your knowledge or consent. My name is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I launched Ranger Gear to be able to offer solutions for problems just like this. We came up with RFID blocking sleeves that interfere with RFID scanning attempts and block them so that no one can steal information off your credit cards, driver's licenses, or passports. You just slip any credit card or passport into one of these sleeves, and it immediately blocks the RFID scanning. It can't get through it. It's like a bulletproof vest against RFID signals. These RFID blocking sleeves are infinitely reusable, they're durable, they're portable, lightweight, almost weigh nothing, and you have to use them now when you travel to protect your identity and your personal security as well. We've got them on sale now, a pack of 10 credit card sleeves and 2 passport protectors. All of them block RFID 100%. They're available now 10% off by using discount code DAVE at rangergear.com. Again, just use coupon code DAVE at rangergear.com and you'll save 10% off this RFID blocking sleeve pack, which contains 10 credit card sleeves and 2 passport protectors. I really can't emphasize this enough. Anywhere that you travel right now, if you have these RFID chips embedded in your cards or passports, you are being scanned and tracked without your knowledge. But you can block that using these RFID blocking sleeves right now. Rangergear.com, use discount code DAVE to save 10% today.
Well, yeah, use that discount code. It's working. A lot of you have discovered the joy of Ranger Gear products. They're terrific. Well, on another note, not lighthearted. I don't have to tell you things are bad. The economy is on the verge of collapse. We've got new Jade Helm starting. We're going to talk about that more in the third hour. The Russians and the Chinese have repeatedly threatened to nuke us. A lot of people are predicting war starting in Syria and spreading across the globe. I mean, take your pick. Whatever is coming, folks, you better get ready. You know, you've heard me talk about converting your cash into precious metals. Well, you also better have a good supply of survival prepping supplies. And where can you go to get yours? ReadyMadeResources.com. My friend Bob Griswold has everything that you could need, including Berkey water filters, solar generators, survival food, you name it, he has it. I would encourage you to go to his website tonight after the show, ReadyMadeResources.com, and then give Bob a call in the morning. He'll consult with you. No high pressure. He'll just simply talk to you about what your needs. And if you're new at this, getting ready to survive what's coming, he'll work with you one step at a time. Bob's number, 1-800-627-3809. Again, Ready Made Resources, Bob Griswold, 1-800-627-3809. Well, our special guest is the host of Caravan to Midnight, John B. Wells, and we've kind of been all over the map. We've talked about the on-world problems, the off-world problems. You know, John, let me return to the ET thing just for a second here, and I'd like to get your opinion. Do you have a theory or a hunch, a notion on the hierarchy of power between us to the global elite to the ET representatives that could be on this planet? Any guesses as to how this is all organized and for what purpose?
Well, now I'm going to have to go to the pulpit a little bit, David. But it's, look, these things that are written in Scripture are written in a way that we can understand them. You know, and even that said, it's still difficult enough to understand them. That's why there's been so much study. What does this passage mean? What does this mean? Wait a minute, which version are you reading? The English Standard Version is the one that I've figured out is the one that I want to read. It's slightly different than the King James Version, but King James is fine. If that's all you got, go with that. But I like the English Standard Version. And the thing is in the end, it is a battle between good and evil. What is good? Okay, it's easier to say what is evil. Good is the absence of its faithfulness to the Creator, otherwise known as God Almighty. It is acknowledging that someone in the form of a man that was God came here, performed miracles, did all kinds of strange things like that, appearing in different places at different times. And that's okay, so we set that aside for a minute. But it's also written in there, like I was saying a while ago, that vast amounts of knowledge will effectively drive you nuts. There's going to be a lot of pain in that, all right? There's another thing that old Solomon said, which is that there is nothing new under the sun. Everything that has been done will be done, and the thing that has been is the thing that will be. And there's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything that you can say, look, this is new? It's already been from ancient times. And it's true. So So this is, it is my truth. It really is. I mean, I've looked all over the place, man. I've looked at Buddhism. I've looked at Hinduism. I've looked at all kinds of stuff. And I can't embrace it. It's there's not enough there. These things were written down to give us an understanding, put into a form that we could understand. It also says, don't be anxious about your life. Don't worry about tomorrow. You got enough to deal with today. Now, in other places it says, live your life as if you were preparing an inheritance for your great-grandchildren. Keep calm and carry on, because there's nothing you can do about it. We don't fight, we really do not fight against flesh and bone. It also says that. We fight principalities in the heavenly realm, meaning not down here on this planet. It's dirty nasty down here. It very well could be that this is where you come and you keep coming back to it until you get it right, and then you can go on, because eternity is a place. It's just like when you have a dream. You're not conscious of time in a dream. That's a little glimpse, in my opinion, I think it's safe to say, that's a little glimpse of eternity. Time does not exist there. Time is a thing that's been given to us to keep up with where we are in this realm. But time does not necessarily exist everywhere. It just doesn't. And the bottom line is, this is a battle between good and evil. It is already stated in Scripture that nobody sits in authority unless the Lord Himself, all capital letters, meaning God, puts that person there. That's it. Why? He thinks about stuff we don't think about. He knows stuff we'll never know. It's just the way it is. So, what do you do and what I do is we do our best and we spread the word about the things that are going on among men. But in the end, it doesn't make any difference what we do. It doesn't make any difference what kind of insurance policy we have or how many vitamins we take or anything. A random soap chip on the bathtub floor will take you out. A random banana peel on the sidewalk. A barbecue grill that somebody put too much propane under it flies over the house and bangs you on the head. We are all mortal. We are going to check out of here at one time. So what exactly are we in a twist over? People make their whole lives out of one thing, their problems. It's a choice to do that. You do not have to do this. The closer that you get to the freedom that is the Lord, it's not about slavery and restriction. It's about freedom. The closer you get to that, the more the enemy comes against you. Because there never is one without the other. Because they were created at the same time for us. This is our deal. On the one, I mean, it's a perfect duality. It's all about our service to our Creator, and therefore it's all about Him, and yet we have been created. And because we have these rules, it's all about us. They can only kill you once. Father's watching all of this. You see the buffoonery that these people perpetrate all over the globe, and you go, how the hell did any of these idiots wind up in a position of authority? Okay, back away from that and look at it objectively. What are they doing? They're doing what they're being directed to do. We can stand back and go, oh boy, Joe Biden, he's an idiot. He acts like an idiot. Is he an idiot? Probably not. He's probably not an idiot at all. Hillary Clinton is not an idiot. A criminal, in my opinion, yes. An idiot? No. She's not. Why are these people doing this? What are these personalities? Why are some of them so cold-blooded that for Hillary Clinton, for example, to come on TV and she's asked about Gaddafi and she says, we came, we saw, he died, and then cackles like the Wicked Witch of the West. What kind of a president says, well, I'm pretty good at killing people?
God, no.
What is that? Who's really doing the talking? Now, I'm not suggesting that we all stand there like a bunch of properly behaved little choir boys and girls and just take it. You're not supposed to take it. You're supposed to engage. But you're also not supposed to judge it. And the reason that you don't judge it is because you don't really know what's going on. You've got to cover your part of the playing field. It's like playing in a band. I heard Paul McCartney say this to George one time. George, you were there having an argument because they were trying to do some music at this big studio and they were all unhappy and grumpy. And George says to him, look, you know, Paul says, look, just play your part, George, just your part. And George's like, well, Paul, you know, I'm going to play it all if you don't want me to, because they're getting a little edgy with each other. But that's the thing. That's why so many of those bands we try to get into, no one would just play their part. They would try to play their part and somebody else's part, too. You know? These guys on the guitar over there, he's, instead of just playing the chords and just hit them and let it go, now he's hooked into what the drummer's doing, so now he's got his fingers doing extra stuff, and now it's just this big smear. It's not a sound. That's what we have to do. We're all in one big band, and each one of us needs to play his or her part, mind our own business, and we'll be doing what's best for everybody else. If they're minding their own business and we've got our part covered, then we can actually help each other. But as it is now, everybody's just running around messing with each other, and these politicians do. And what is the common theme in all of this, David? Continual confusion, continual division, continual conflict. You would think that they really don't want a solution. Who's running them? Are they just all on the same page, just like these refugees from the Middle East just all decided one day, hey, let's go to Europe? No. That invasion of Europe was a carefully orchestrated thing. That wasn't some spontaneous rave. And this stupidity that we're seeing coming out of our leaders, they didn't all decide to act like idiots. They're being run. They're being run, and many of them may not even know they're being run. It was written that they would, written by what I mean by that is, it was predetermined that Merkel, Cameron, Bush, name one, they were going to be in that place. These families are all connected. People who have power, that's why arranged marriages were done, because we're going to consolidate our power, our financial power, our political power, our social power, and our families. We have to have children, and they treat those children rough. Look at Hinckley. The Hinckleys were best friends with the Bushes. My opinion is George W. Bush wanted to send Ronald Reagan a message. And he did, by using one of his friend's sons to do it. Okay? So these people don't, it doesn't make any difference, whatever it takes to get it done. So you have to ask yourself a question. Who's really running them? Well, it's the greater forces. The greater forces of good or evil. And once it gets its hooks in you, it's like a drug that won't wear off. You can't quit the club. Once you're in for good. And there's only one way out. I think we know what that is.
That's so true. You know, when I hear you talk about this, it reminds me, I go back to 1993, and on Art Bell, first time I ever listened to Art's show, he had on a man named Vance Davis, who later became a very good friend of mine. In fact, I tracked him down after the show. And what he said sounded so eerily similar to what my father told me. And he said, in his NSA indoctrination when he was part of a NATO contingent, they were taught that this war in the cosmos has been going on forever, and it's a struggle between good and evil, and the human soul is the prize. And since the other side has not been successful in procuring the human soul and morphing the human soul for their purposes, they would move into morphing human beings. Now, this is 1993. No one ever used the word transhumanism. And so, John, when I hear you talk about this, it puts me right in the mind of what Vance used to tell me repeatedly. And these same themes keep repeating. I think you are right on the money with this.
Look, David, I got to tell you, people will tell me sometimes it's just a great thing what you've done. It gets pretty weird when you go to the airport, you're going to fly somewhere, and a complete stranger comes by and says, hey, man, I really appreciate what you're doing. Keep going. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, wow, I'm glad he didn't have I'm glad he didn't have a nefarious intent when he walked up. I didn't even see that coming. People will tell me they're glad, they're happy about it. They'll compliment me on what I'm doing. But the fact is that I didn't organize any of this. You know what the chances are of somebody with zero talk radio experience? I'm using the word zero talk radio experience. Going to the biggest overnight show in the history of radio? How about zero?
Yeah.
There's no chance of this happening. What are the chances of this person going over there and doing this and then getting, you know, pulling the highest share that was pulled? zero. It just doesn't happen. I can't take credit for any of this. I've said this a million times. I'll probably say it a million more times. All I do is suit up, get my spikes on, and get out onto the field. I don't look at the scoreboard. I don't even look at the other players. I just look down the field. We're supposed to get the ball to the other end of the field. That's it. Don't look at the scoreboard. Just look at the objective. That's it. Just do your job. And that's what. And that's really what I do. I'm not trying to be, falsely humble or anything of the sort. It's just the plain truth of it. I didn't do this. I just showed up when I was supposed to. I showed up when I was told to. I could go into that, but some people might start rolling their eyes, but it's like, I was told what was going to happen. And it was revealed to me in prayer, and that's all I'm going to say about it. But it happened, didn't it? So why would I lie about it? What's in it for me to lie? Answer, nothing. There's nothing in it for me to lie, and certainly nothing in it for anybody else. So I wouldn't do it. But that's a fact. If you don't have any faith, whoever's listening to this broadcast, if you don't have any faith, you're not going to make it. And this life that you're living right now is not the end of the line. Don't think that for a minute. That's just, I'm just going to wait out my time, put in my time, and then just die and it's over. It ain't over when you die. That's the enemy talking to you. When you accuse yourself, when you say, I'm a no good this and that, and I've done this, that, and the other, Jesus doesn't accuse. Jesus says it's okay. You're on the right track now. Let it go. It's the Luciferian character. That's the one who accuses you of being a no-good slacker and a drug addict, and you're just a womanizer, or you're just a slut, or you're a failure because your marriage had trouble, or you're having trouble with money, so you're just a damn fool. That's not the Lord accusing you. That's the enemy accusing you. And you need to reject that. And look, I had no idea that I would ever proselytize Christianity on anybody's program, ever. Saul said, I was a chief among sinners. Well, I probably wasn't a chief, but I can tell you I was a lieutenant or a captain, rock and roll disc jockey. They treated me like I was the prince of the city. I was an idiot. But the flip side of that coin is this. That deal about when I was a child, I thought as a child? Okay, well, when I was an idiot, I thought as an idiot and behaved as one. But once I got my stuff together, I quit doing idiotic things. So this is not some lily white, preacher's son telling you this. This is somebody who's had his face slammed on the pavement and his rump kicked because my Father in heaven loved me enough to take me to the woodshed and wear my ass out to go, let me show you something, pal. You're dead. You're dead. Now, look now. You're alive. Now you're not dead. You get it? I'm nodding like a moron going, yeah, I get it. I'm not convinced that you get it. Come with me. Where are we going? We're going to the desert for a while, and we did. A couple of 3 years went by, and I wouldn't put you through a description of the experiences, but I can tell you this, no drugs or alcohol were involved. And I saw things and I heard things, and it's like after that, it's just like what the Lord said. If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. Folks, you don't want that. You don't know where you were before, and you don't really know where you're going. The only thing you need to do is say, Lord, I'm all yours. All of this stuff is yours. I'm yours. I don't own me. You own me. What do you want me to do? Just indicate what you'd have me do, and I'm willing to do it. That's it. And you're on your way, and your life will change in ways you could not possibly imagine. But once you do that, the enemy will come for you. And you will be filled with doubt, and you'll doubt yourself, and you'll say, God, is this the Lord talking to me, or is this me talking to me? You'll train yourself to know, and you'll know when things come into your mind that you could not possibly make up. And not only that, you can't repeat them word for word to anybody, because they don't go to your mind. Only the language goes through your mind. The rest of it goes to your heart. And on that, I'll stop.
I wish you wouldn't.
I believe it, David.
Katie, we're taking a vote here. All in favor of John continuing?
I was sitting here with tears in my eyes thinking the last 20 minutes have been such have so ministered to me personally in my journey, and I kind of wish you didn't stop, but you stopped because you did stop, and it was so beautiful. Thank you, John.
I can't wait.
Thanks for listening.
I can't wait to share this on the archives and just have this go viral. This is phenomenal stuff, and you're right about the calling. I rejected this for so long. I mean, I grew up, 1985, the year my father died, he confided in everything he did. He knew, I knew there was stuff going on. We used to have the Secret Service visit us. The FBI would come and vet us, give us lie detector tests, make sure nobody was talking with the work he was doing. And I knew what was going on in the world to some degree, but I chose to pursue my career, my other life interests, until the good Senator McCain and his globalists tried to steal my house and that of my neighbors, and it thrust me into what I'm doing now. And I was an unwilling participant. And then I was at a crossroads, John. I had to make some decisions. Do I put more time into this and do a little less of that? And Annie DeRiso said to me, "This is your calling." And it never occurred to me that way. I mean, I'd never had it expressed to me that way. I never thought in those terms. And she said, "Dave, this is your calling." And there is an awareness I have now, too. It's a responsibility. I agree with you, and we all have our calling. I could not agree with what you just said more. And I love what you said, because I used to say this to my basketball players. Do your job. Everybody has a role to play. Do your job. And if we all did our job, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in today. Don't you agree with that?
Absolutely. Why do you think? Why does, folks? Let me ask you a question. Why do you think they want to get rid of Christianity? Why do you think they mock Jesus? Read the first 10 chapters of Matthew. It'll take you about probably not even an hour if you're a poor reader. Some of the chapters aren't even a page long. And you tell me if there's anything, any version of the Bible that you have, King James is the one you're going to come across the most often. Just pick it up and read it. Just sit down for a minute and just read it. And you tell me if there's anything in there that will harm you. Anything. And you'll find the answer is no. And not only that, but you'll feel better about yourself. Why do you think that we've got a president up there that keeps pushing Islam? Because in the words of M.S. Mills, he said, "John," he's from South Africa, and he said, "John, I'm going to say something on your program that's very politically incorrect." I said, "Let it rip, Monty." He said, "I believe that Islam is Satan's masterpiece." And I said, "I agree with you completely, and I do. And I don't give a damn if they want to put a fatwa on me or anything else. Bring it. I'll be waiting. Father's watching. I ain't worried about it." But why do they want to get rid of it? Why would a president light up the White House in gay rainbow colors? Why would Thanksgiving and Christmas be forbidden in elementary schools? Why are these people trying so hard to strip this nation of the one thing that allowed it to exist in the first place? It's because it's the truth. And if you have the truth, then lies just don't really work on you, and you're not malleable, and you can't be bought. You can't be bought if you have faith. And here's something else. They can't take it from you, no matter what they do. You have to give it to them. And if you don't give it to them, then they're not getting it. Why else would they push Islam on and deny that this country is a Christian nation? And try and say the founding fathers were deists. You need to read some more books. That's simply not the case. Well, they didn't really believe in Jesus. Bravo, Sierra. They did. Yes, they did. They were active in their churches. Oh, they want to change everything. They want to make it sound like Jesus and Santa Claus are the same people. Well, don't let them do that. And we are warned in Scripture that this is exactly what they're going to try to do. But you don't do that. You don't listen to any of that. You don't listen to these people. You listen to the Lord. Now, let me get to the falling on your knees part, and I'll do this quickly. Fall on my knees. I don't feel like falling on my knees. What's all this about falling on your knees? It is a symbolic gesture that you are willing to kneel before the Creator of the whole universe and be able to commune with the Creator of the universe. What is a more beautiful sight than to see a knight with the sword and the mail and everything else get down on his knees, this powerful, bad to the bone, fierce, warlike knight, and humble himself before his God. What is more inspiring than that? Because this guy can stand up and lop your head clean off, and nobody's going to say or do anything about it. And this guy is going to lower himself to his knees and ask and pray for guidance? There's something wrong with this. There's something gay about this. There's something that's just not right about this. No. If you're willing to say, I'll fall down on my knees, I don't care if it takes me a half an hour to get back up. You think your Creator doesn't see that? He's looking for intention. You can stand up. I told this guy one time, he said, well, I was talking, and I said, you know, look, God, I said, let me stop you right there. I said, you're an ordained minister, aren't you? He said, yeah. I said, you're a real preacher, right? He said, yeah. I said, you can't talk to him that way. What's wrong with you? About a week later, something happened to him, and then a week after that, he told me about it. He said, what you said, I don't even know where that came from. I just kind of went off on him. I got a feeling I do know where it came from, but he needed to hear it, apparently, or otherwise I wouldn't have said it. But he went to a black church. He's the only white guy there. He was just in a daze. And he sees a church, and it's Sunday, and he goes in. And he goes in there, and he said these people surrounded him and loved him, and he fell down, and he was just crying uncontrollably because he'd separated himself from the Spirit. And he was reconnected with the Spirit. And he never said, hey, God, ever, hey, God, look. He never said that ever again. You can't talk to Father that way. What's wrong with you? Have a little respect. In fact, have a lot of respect. Were you going to walk up to his office and toss his coat over on the couch, put your feet on his desk? No. So, look, I didn't mean to go on and on with this. And then on the other hand, I guess I'm going to have to say I was led to, David, because when I get a chance to talk about this, whether I thought that I was going to or not, I do. And I hope it helps somebody, because we need to help each other, but we can't help each other until we figure out who our loyalty lies with.
That's true. And I'm glad you went on. You didn't hear any speed bumps from my end. And this was something I think that needs to be said, and we need to be reminded of this often. John, we just have about a moment left, about 30 seconds before we close out this segment. Again, please give out your website address and tell people when they can listen to your show.
New programs posted Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock Central. It's just caravantomidnight.com. Midnight is that magic moment. It only lasts for just an instant, but it's the space between yesterday and tomorrow. And that's where we're headed, to that space between the spaces, as John Hurt said in the Crystal Skull deal in Indiana Jones. It's Caravan to Midnight. No numbers, no missing letters in night, please. Just the words. Come see us, check out some free content, and join us. We'd love to have you.
Great. Well, John, it's been our honor and privilege to have you on for these 2 hours, and we can't let so much water run under the bridge. Next time, we got to have you back sooner. Thanks so much for joining us.
David, thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure.
Yeah, ours, pleasure is all ours, my friend. Well, ladies and gentlemen, John B. Wells from Caravan to Midnight, and we will be back in hour number 3 with Katie and the Health Report, followed by Paul Martin at the bottom of the hour.